to address, we have to approach it from, you know, from a holistic approach instead of just enforcement. We need to...
Abel Nunez, on that note, I want to thank you very much for joining us. He is with the Centro Romero community-based group in Chicago, and we'll certainly continue to cover this issue. That does it for today's broadcast. Much now produced by Mike Berkshire, who will produce Anna Nagar, Elizabeth Press, Ruba Rich, and Aaron Mate, Maddie Harper, Mike DeFlippo, our engineer. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, and thanks for running 2 minutes late, Amy. It's WUSB Stony Brook, 2 minutes after 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. All right, it's about enough of that. Sorry for the delay. I was trying to figure out how to get the Instant Messenger to work, but apparently it doesn't work. I don't know. Whenever you're dealing with Macs, it just gets to be a nightmare very quickly, and time goes by a lot faster than you'd like it to. So, well, if anyone out there knows if the Instant Messenger client is working, send me an instant message. I don't think it's working, though. Try to log in, and this... Absolutely no clue how to do it. Yeah, we're supposed to have... that's one way of communicating with our listeners. Yeah, I don't know the address either. I have a suspicion, but I don't want to give out the wrong address and have somebody else get messages for us. But it's one of the ways we're trying to keep in touch with our listeners until we get the delay system working. And that's when we're allowed to speak to you again, person to person. The program is off the wall, Emmanuel Goldstein. Please forgive me, I'm in a foul mood today. If you've crossed me already, I'm sorry. I probably didn't mean what I said, although there's a good chance there's some basis to it. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like being up so early in the daytime. Yeah, I know it's 6 o'clock in the evening, but, you know, I was up for a couple hours before this, and, you know, people just get in your way all the time. At night, you know, the roads are open, the sidewalks are clear. There's nobody tying up the computer and the phones. You can do whatever you want, pretty much. The world is left in your hands. But the daytime, my God. All these large people with their large cars going really slowly, doing stupid things. I got cut off by a bus on campus. Can you believe that? The largest vehicle there is. Coming down the road, coming down what used to be called Infirmary Drive, didn't it? Now it's called, I think, Stadium Drive, because the priorities of the university have changed quite a bit. But coming down right on my way here, you know, and I'm passing by this little driveway that a bus is sitting at. I'm about, I don't know, maybe 50 feet away, where it just pulls out like I don't even exist. Yeah. That got me pretty mad. I might be smaller than you, pal, but I exist. And I almost proved it to the side of your bus, moron. So yeah, that's the kind of day I've been having, you know? People just... You ever have one of those days where you're literally walking down the sidewalk and everybody seems to be walking directly into you? And, you know, you're not doing anything differently. How is that happening? Why, are people aiming for you or something? I have those days maybe once every 2 weeks. If I'm stupid enough to be up in the middle of the day and walking down crowded sidewalks. And it just seems like, you know, the whole world is out to get you. And you're more than happy to return the favor, you know, and declare total war, as the North Koreans would say. But enough about me. I'm sure there are more important things to worry about and fret about in the world. I'm just trying to explain why I might seem a little bit short-tempered today. Not that I'm going to have any real interaction, except with this stupid computer here that doesn't seem to want to do anything that I'd like it to do. All right. Got to try to look at the bright side here. Got a whole page full of Bush quotations. That always is good to lighten up the mood a little bit. Let's see. Let's pick one at random, and maybe that'll push things in a better direction. It's a heck of a place to bring your family, said George W. Bush about New Orleans. That was on January 12, 2006. Not quite sure what he meant by that. Okay, here's George W. Bush on January 10th of this year addressing war veterans in Washington, D.C. You took an oath to defend our flag and our freedom, and you kept that oath under seas and under fire. Maybe he was saying under siege. Maybe that's what he was saying, and it was a pronunciation problem? Yeah. How about this one? This has to do with baseball, because I want to talk about that a little bit, with what's been going on. I think it's really important for this great state of baseball to reach out to people of all walks of life to make sure that the sport is inclusive. The best way to do it is to convince little kids how to the beauty of playing baseball. I think I read that one last week, didn't I? Either that or he had another complete lapse in sentence structure. All right, in that case, I'm going to read another one. Those who enter the country illegally violate the law. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to count that one either. I like things a little bit more complex. Listen, I want to thank leaders of the In the Faith-based and community-based community for being here. He actually said that on September 6th. And I guess you had to have a lot of faith to understand just what it meant. I still don't feel satisfied here. I want one more that will really leave me in a good mood here. If they pre-decease or die early, there's an asset base to be able to pass on to a loved one. about a year ago, March 30th, 2005, on Social Security money held in private accounts. Okay, and one more. In this job, you've got a lot on your plate on a regular basis. You don't have much time to sit around and wander lonely in the Oval Office, kind of asking different portraits, how do you think my standing will be? Almost exactly a year ago, March 16th, 2005. Okay, well, you get the idea. You get the idea. We're in big trouble. And as George W. Bush opens his mouth more and says wackier things, who knows where it's going to go. But, boy, it's a fun ride, isn't it? Sure is. Let's see some of what's been going on in the world in the last couple of days. Well, do we have to read about Iraq? Oh, my God. Iraq's Interior Ministry is blaming a second wave of religious violence for the killings of dozens of men in Baghdad. In the past day, Iraqi police have found the bodies of at least 87 men killed in execution-style shootings. About a third of the bodies were stacked in a mass grave in an eastern Shiite neighborhood. So glad they don't have Saddam Hussein in power anymore. A bomb attack on an important Shiite shrine last month has sparked an initial round of mass killings. But we're not yet calling it civil war because, well, that wouldn't be right, would it? It just casts such a negative tone on things. Just today, in fact, that Rumsfeld said that it's been a good day in Iraq. Of course, he immediately said, I don't mean the killings. Hope you don't misconstrue it to say that I'm claiming the killings meant it a good day. Something else made it a good day. And that overshadowed the killings. He also said that there might be a slight troop increase. Yeah, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld suggested, and he did this today, that U.S. troop levels may rise slightly in Iraq in the coming days. He says the possible increase is connected to pilgrimages associated with the holiday this month. He says General George Casey, the top U.S. military official and or officer rather in Iraq, may decide he wants to bulk up slightly for the pilgrimage. For about 133,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, and about 3,000 less now than what went over there in the first place. Actually, a lot more than that if you count the injuries. So, yeah, more of us might be heading over there to join in the fun. And what else? What else? What are the cheerful news we have here? Oh, yeah. One of my favorite people, Slobodan Milosevic. Well, how about that, you know? Justice moves in strange ways. You're sitting there in your prison cell awaiting trial, and all of a sudden, bang, you're gone. Now, there's some speculation as to whether or not he might have had something to do with that. Why not? He's been involved in every nefarious plot in the region. The officials say two doctors believe Milosevic intentionally took some drugs to undermine his prescribed heart medications and slow the pace of his war crimes trial. Yeah, that's a brilliant strategy, isn't it? These officials demanded anonymity because of tribunal secrecy rules, but sought to counter loyalist allegations that the former Serb president was poisoned. And hours earlier, Milosevic's son Marko told the AP television news his father was murdered. Why is that guy still walking around? Wasn't he a thug, too, in the administration of Milosevic? There's an arrest warrant out for his wife, which they're thinking of lifting temporarily so that she can go to the funeral. But now there's speculation as to whether the funeral is even going to take place. Nobody wants this guy's body alive or dead. Unbelievable. And, you know, I don't understand that either. All this fuss, this is something all cultures I don't understand. You know, the guy's dead, the body is just like, as the Klingons would say, just an empty shell treated as such, and then do the Klingon scream or whatever you have to do, and move on. But all these people getting all upset, oh, where's the body going to be? The body has to be here, no, the body's there, we have to have closure. Bury the body at sea, burn the body, dump the body, scatter the ashes. Come on already, it's a body. Just think of the memory of the person when they were moving around with blood flowing through the veins and you know, the brain cells actually doing something. Sometimes they do bad things, sometimes they do good things. But they don't do anything when the person is lying in the ground or in an urn someplace. The memory can be cherished no matter where you are. So maybe everybody should just be shot out into space so we can have more ground to build things on and you know, less activity to do on the Sunday afternoon when you want to mope around a cemetery. See, I don't get that. Every culture has this major issue with where people get buried. I don't think there's a single one. If there is, please point me to it. I'd like to know. You know, it's all tied into this religious nonsense. Kind of religious funeral you're going to get, what church is going to bury you. You ever wonder why a church is so involved in burying dead people? Right away, that's got to be a warning to you. It's what they do. You know, every church has a cemetery. Not all of them have nurseries, but most of them have cemeteries. That's kind of bizarre. Okay, since we're on the religion topic, why not just dive right in and start insulting people? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. And that's what it's all about, is just kidding around. Because I respect people and their beliefs, no matter what they are, no matter how crazy they are. Because it's the people I respect, not the institutions that they subscribe to. But if you subscribe to some bizarre institution, you know, I might say it's bizarre, but still, I'll respect your wishes. But just don't expect people to not say anything, which is what I think most religions would prefer. So, we have a rather weird story, I think, having to do with religion. Soul singer Isaac Hayes has quit South Park. Yeah, the character of Chef will either be no more or somebody else will do the voice. Listen to this. Isaac Hayes said yesterday he was quitting his job as the voice of the character Chef on South Park, citing the show's inappropriate ridicule of religion. Inappropriate ridicule of religion. What show has he been on for the last however many years? If there is any program I could point to that has ridiculed religion more than this one, it's South Park. I mean, they ridicule everybody. Everybody and everything. Now, I happen to think they lean to the right a little too much, but that's my opinion, but they still ridicule all sorts of different things. Not one in favor of another. Series co-creator Matt Stone said the veteran recording artist was upset the show had recently lampooned the Church of Scientology, of which Hayes is an outspoken follower. Well, there you go. There you go. It's okay to mock other people's religion, but when you mock the cult that I'm a part of, oh boy, you know. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. We'll be filing lawsuits. We'll be claiming religious intolerance. Got to shut those people up. Stone continued, in 10 years and over 150 episodes of South Park, Isaac never had a problem with the show making fun of Christians, Muslims, Mormons, or Jews. He got a sudden case of religious sensitivity when it was his religion featured on the show. He said, of course, we'll release Isaac from his contract, and we wish him well. You know, just once, I would like people to be honest and not wish somebody well when they're being a complete doofus. Say, you know, we'll release him from his contract, and you know what? We hope he falls down a flight of stairs. We hope he trips over his own shoelaces and falls into a pool of his own logic. Yeah, that's what I'd like to hear. You know, just some kind of, not so much sore loser approach, but just not so fake. Wish him well. How about, you're a jerk. You're a hypocrite. You're a fool. I don't like you anymore. Yeah, something like that. But no, we wish him well. I guess for legal reasons you have to do that. But on a day like today, I don't wish anybody well, so I have no trouble saying, you know, whatever it is that's on my mind, dealing with the consequences later. Anyway, 63-year-old Isaac Hayes looks pretty good for 63, I'll say that. That's all you're going to get from me. He did not mention last fall's episode poking fun at Scientology and some of its celebrity adherents, including actor Tom Cruise. Oh, boy. You ever see these guys, though, when you try and engage them in some kind of honest discussion about their religion? They get all defensive. They get all crazy. And any religion, and you know, in this case, I think I can even put the word religion in quotes because it's more of a corporation that... I don't even know what they do, to be honest. I'm sure I'll get letters about this, but I've asked people to explain Scientology to me many times, and I've never gotten a straight answer. You know, at least with Christian religion, Muslim religion, Buddhism, there are some basic beliefs that are understandable. And maybe I'm just missing the boat on this one, but Scientology, I just don't get it. Anyway, there is a place in this world for satire, Hayes said, but there is a time when satire ends and intolerance and bigotry toward religious beliefs begins. I guess that's when the king of the Scientologists, whoever runs that religion, tells you that you should be offended by this. Outlandish religious satire has been a mainstay of the show since its debut in 1997. In fact, there were a couple of short films that started the whole thing. Jesus vs. Frosty. Oh, I remember that. That was great. And The Spirit of Christmas, the latter featuring a martial arts duel between Jesus and Santa Claus over the true meaning of Christmas. I didn't find it offensive. I don't think very many people did. Anyway, in the Scientology episode last fall, one of the gang, Stan, scores so high on a Scientology test that church followers think he is the next L. Ron Hubbard, the late science fiction writer who founded the religion. Hayes did not take part in that episode. Is that the extent of it? No, it can't be. Anyway, that's where that stands. Pretty damn silly, if you ask me. I guess it's a good time to go into our religious piece of the week, since we're talking about religion already. And we're always looking for material that either criticizes religion, mocks religion. We're not looking for hate speech. We're not looking for something that is meant to degrade an entire race of people or an entire culture or anything like that. But every religion has things that can be said that criticize it. And when you're told you're not allowed to criticize this, it just makes you want to do it all the more. That's why I come down particularly hard on Scientology, because I see what happens to the critics. And that's why the Muslims the Muslims that are going around saying that you're not allowed to draw caricatures of Prophet Muhammad, I'm sorry, but that is just not in line with freedom of speech of a very basic level. I think a lot of people understand that in the Muslim world and outside the Muslim world, and I don't think those people speak for the religion or should speak for the religion. But on the off chance that they do, it's important not to let your freedom of speech be curtailed. So speak out. Here's a song by John Lennon, which caused a furor in its day in the early 1970s. It's entitled God. Basically, it just tears down everything. Everything. All the way down to the individual level. And what we're going to hear is a different version of the one of this song than you might be familiar with. It came out on Lennon's first solo album called Plastic Ono Band. This actually comes from the Anthology Collection. It's an alternate version of the song. We'll be back right after this.
I'm not a song that suits me mood. Okay. God is a concept by which we measure our pain. I'll say it again. God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Yes, we do. I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in matching. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in tarot. I don't believe in say, the dream is over. Yesterday, I was the dream weaver, but now I'm reborn. I was the walrus, but now I'm John. And so, dear friends, you just have to carry on. The dream is over.
Yeah, John Lennon there.
Hey, it's incredibly strange in the years.
And God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Couldn't have said it better. And nobody else did. Your email, of course, is always welcome here at this particular radio program, otw@2600.com. That's 2600.com. Don't try to spell it out. OTW, of course, standing for Off the Wall, which is the name of this program. And let's look at a couple pieces of email that we've gotten. All right, here's some emoticons. Emoticons. Someone sent some Prophet Muhammad emoticons. I don't know if this is going to be legal either. You know, because you're portraying, you're daring to actually put pen to ink, or actually put pen to paper, and draw an image. Well, let's see. Muhammad is represented by three open parentheses, a colon, a tilde, that's the little squiggly line, an open curly bracket, and a closed, a greater than sign, I guess is the best way to say that. I'm not going to repeat it. I'll go on to the next one, though. Muhammad as a pirate is three open parentheses, the capital letter P, a tilde, open squiggly bracket, greater than sign. Muhammad on a bad turban day, three closed parentheses, a colon, a tilde, open curly bracket, greater than sign. Muhammad with sand in his eye, three open parentheses, looks like a semicolon, tilde, open squiggly bracket, greater than sign. I guess you could sort of figure these out after a while. Muhammad wearing sunglasses, three open parentheses, the capital letter B, tilde, open squiggly bracket, greater than sign. Let's see. That's pretty much all I want to read, I think. That's from Aaron, who says, unfortunately, nothing you can share on the show, but funny nonetheless. Yeah, well, you underestimated me, didn't you, Aaron? I can share emoticons on the program. Just takes a little while. Here's a Jesus joke. Jesus walks into a hotel in Galilee. He puts three nails down on the counter and asks, can you put me up for the night? And that's from David J. Thank you, David J. David says that is the ability to laugh at ourselves that leads to happiness. Oh, I hope that explanation works when the religious zealots catch up to you. Here's a couple of... this is getting interesting. We're getting a whole lot of submissions here, but I'm just going to read a couple more. From Matthew, thought this might be useful for the show. Have you heard that in the wake of the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad being published, many Islamic nations are boycotting Norwegian exports? As of Friday, no Norwegian bacon will be entering the Muslim world. And why don't Muslims work in accounting departments? Answer, accounts depict the prophet. Oh, boy. All right. And again, otw@2600.com is our email address. We always like listening or hearing from our listeners and listening to what they have to say. A couple other items. Matt writes in to say Quicken Loans Arena is the basketball arena in Cleveland, host to NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, often shortened to the Q. Used to be called the Gund Arena, named after the owner, and probably one of the most ridiculous names of arenas I've ever heard, the Quicken Loans Arena. It's not even, Quicken does more than just, process loans. So it's named after a particular function of a company. Crazy. Okay, was it me or did you miss a great chance to play The Gun in the Bible by Negative Land? Or would playing that be too obvious? It's from Trencher in Las Vegas, loyal podcast listener. Can't believe people are actually saying that. You want to talk about a town that offends people in strange ways? Well, certainly Las Vegas would be that town. And maybe we'll play that song at some point. It's just, you know, we play a lot of negative land. We don't want to overdo it. And let's see, another piece of email. Hey, guys, can you please tell me how to get a smart car into the U.S.? I live half the time in London, half the time in San Francisco. I have a smart car in London, and I love it. Truly belongs in San Francisco. Can you tell me how you got yours into the U.S.? Signed, Andrew. Well, it's a bit complicated. Well, I guess what you could do is stick it in one of those shipping containers, and apparently 95% of them aren't even looked at. Don't quite understand how that's even possible. You have to open it someplace. But I guess, you know, you have a 1 in 20 chance of being caught bringing a smart car in. But then again, you still have to license it somehow. I don't think driving around with British plates would cut it here. The best way to get a smart car into this country is to simply find somebody in Canada who's willing to license it for you. Work out some kind of arrangement with somebody in Canada that you trust, and if that person will lend you the car for however long you want to drive it for, perhaps you could lend them some money in exchange for that and borrow the car and drive it in the United States. Perfectly legal to drive it in the United States if it has Canadian plates. So, yeah, you know, the only smart car in the city, I believe, is what we drive around in occasionally, and it's a lot of fun. You meet all sorts of people. And if you want to know what a smart car looks like, the tiny one, the 4.2, go to www.smart.com and check out all the little cars driving around, or just go to Europe and look in any major city and you'll see it. It's amazing. You know, you can park the things anywhere, they get great gas mileage, and they're safe. Everyone thinks that, you know, some of these big people in the big vehicles can really do a number on you. You know what? They can't. They can't. This car is rated for high-speed collisions with big-time morons. Does just fine. It's not something you should seek out, but it's not a death trap. Okay, a couple of other news items relating to stupidity. British Prime Minister Tony Blair says God and history will judge whether he was right to go to war in Iraq. Yeah, God and history. That's a rare reference to his Christian religious faith, and something that you don't see very often outside the United States. But apparently, Blair is following Bush in all sorts of different ways. When asked about sending troops to Iraq, he said that decision has to be taken and has to be lived with, and in the end, there is a judgment that, well, I think if you have faith about these things, then you realize the judgment is made by other people. Asked to explain what the hell he meant, Blair replied, if you believe in God, it's made by God as well. So what? How does this work exactly? Other people make the judgment, and God has a voice as well. They sit around a conference table, God shows up, he's a little bit late, so he brings some snacks for everybody, and they all just sort of vote on it? Or does God have veto power? If I was God, I'd want veto power. So at least you can get after all that he's done. Or she. Or it. Or nobody. Anyway, Parkinson, the interviewer, asked Blair if he prayed to God when he decided to go to war in Iraq. And Blair replied, I don't want to get into something like that, which actually is a wise thing to say, because it's nobody's damn business who or what you pray to, but then again, you shouldn't be bringing it up in the first place. And if you're looking for God for guidance, you might be misinterpreting a few acts of nature as words of God and doing all sorts of things that are foolish and wrong. Anyway, speaking of foolish and wrong, Governor Mike Rounds has signed legislation about a week ago, actually, banning nearly all abortions in South Dakota, setting up a court fight aimed at challenging Roe v. Wade, the landmark decision 33 years ago. The bill would make it a crime for doctors to perform an abortion unless the procedure was necessary to save the woman's life. It would make no exception for cases of rape or incest. It's just almost funny that this is still an issue in this country, but it remains an issue, just like creationism remains an issue. So before we go around pointing to fundamentalist societies and laughing about how primitive they are, take a good look at South Dakota. Take a good look at Kansas. I know we have listeners there, and I'm not putting down the people. At least not the smart ones. But, man, you got a lot of stupid people there writing legislation, and you got to stand up and do something about it. Or we're going to continue laughing. So these bumpkins in South Dakota think that they're going to use this law as a way to overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't think they even have enough votes in the Supreme Court to do that. I don't think they're going to be led that easily into it. But we'll see. You know, it'll make things interesting. Imagine that. Imagine Roe versus Wade being overturned. Maybe that's what we need. You know, people are always asking, what is it going to take? You know, we have this quagmire in Iraq. We have all these people dying. We have wiretaps without warrants. We have people living in fear all the time. The economy is in ruins. But you know what? We still have everything that we need. We might have to pay a little more for it, but we still have all the gas we want. And we still have what we call freedom to tune to whatever channel we want. But when you start inconveniencing the middle class, when you start doing things that directly affect them, and outlawing abortion, I think, is going to do just that. That's when people get pissed off. And that's when they storm buildings and things. And you know what? It's okay to storm buildings. It's okay to... I've been watching the demonstrations in Paris. A lot of kids there are very upset with the new labor laws that are being set down by the French government. And I'm watching how they're protesting. The police are charging in, whether it be to crowds or to buildings, and they're spraying tear gas. And you see these protesters, they're throwing things back at the cops. In fact, one of them was spraying something at the cops. Yeah, they fight back there. Can you imagine that happening in this country? You'd be shot. You'd be shot and people would cheer. People would say, my God, you're a terrorist. How dare you assault a cop? How dare you fight back? It's just the mindset has changed so radically here in the last couple of decades. Because in the 60s and 70s, yeah, that kind of thing would have happened here. And was it more of a scary society? Was it run by terrorists? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think when you're afraid to stand up and do certain things, that's more scary. And yet, you know, charging into buildings and fighting back with cops, it's not particularly pleasant. People do get hurt. But it shouldn't just be a one-way thing either, where people are constantly stepped on, given orders, and not allowed to express their grievances in ways that the rest of the world does all the time. This makes us a society obsessed with rules. Now, you had the case down in Florida of this kid who died in a boot camp. I don't know if we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It was one of the stories maybe I didn't get to. But Martin Lee Anderson died after workers at a Florida boot camp restrained and hit him. And they blamed it on, get this, sickle cell trait. He's 14 years old. He died of complications from sickle cell trait, which previously had not been diagnosed in him. Now, the video made its way onto the net, and you saw these idiots, after they were through roughing him up, just sort of standing around. Apparently that's when he was passing out or severely afflicted by something. And you see them just sort of scratching their heads, walking back and forth, saying, what's up with this guy? And there was a nurse there, too. They even had a nurse walking around, and she didn't give a crap about any of it. Looking at her watch, walking back and forth. I'm not sure why they were all even out there in the first place, but they stuck around for about 10 minutes. And that's when somebody said, you know what, maybe we should get this kid to a doctor or a hospital or something. And that's when you see them finally carrying the kid away. Of course, he died later. They said it was because of complications in the sickle cell trait. Now they're saying that's nonsense. Natural disease did not cause his death, according to a coroner today. Dr. Michael Badden said, I think we all agree he did not die of sickle trait. And this, the only reason they even had this autopsy was because the family requested a second autopsy. So, his mother says, "I'm just glad the truth finally came out." A federal probe into whether his civil rights were violated by the use of excessive force is also underway at the request of his parents and local leaders. The only thing that bothers me about that, would we be filing a civil rights case if the kid was white? And if not, then what would we be filing? You know, that's an important question. Now, according to the law, you have a civil rights case if discrimination happens to you or a specific class of individual because of race, color, national origin, age, sex, disability, or religion. And I don't think any of that would have qualified. I mean, maybe age, but, you know, prison thugs beat up people of all ages, all races, all colors. So I don't think the case would fly. We need something that protects individual people against the state. And yeah, people who attack based on race or religion or anything like that, sure, hold them up to special scrutiny as well. In any event, hopefully these guys will pay for what they did. So far, nobody's been arrested, but then again, we can't be surprised at that, can we? The port deal is dead, thanks to the company, the United Arab Emirates, who decided to turn over control to a U.S. company. And I guess that satisfied all the people who were going crazy at the thought of Arabs actually running a company that was in charge of U.S. ports. Never mind the fact that Homeland Security was still in charge of security. The general thought was that information might get into the wrong hands somehow, because all these Arabs apparently know each other. It's the silliest thing, and you can use it to justify not hiring Arabs in any capacity whatsoever with anything that has to do with, say, security, our children, the food supply, the water supply, power plants, anything. Because they could easily be approached by Al-Qaeda and turned. And then where would we be? Well, where we are today is in a lot worse place, because I think we showed our true colors. And not just the politicians this time. Not just the politicians. The majority of the American public supported overturning this deal simply because it was an Arab company. No problem with the Chinese, despite all the torture they engage in with their own people and the nasty things they've done over the decades. No problem with the British, who are embarking a 1984 escapade like you've never seen before. No problem with them. Of course, that's probably in line with the U.S. stand on things anyway. In a recent poll, this question was asked on CNN.com. Who would you rather have overseeing operations at U.S. ports? An Arab-based ports company or the U.S.-based mafia? That was a real question. And it was based on a statement that someone in the United Arab Emirates had said concerning the fact that ports currently are mob-run. Whether or not that's true is open to debate, I guess. But this question was not. This question was very straightforward. Who would you rather have running ports, an Arab-based ports company, or the U.S.-based mafia? Do you know the mafia won, hands down? Can you believe that? Now, that tells me something. Something is definitely not right with this conclusion. If you support organized crime, these are guys who do crime, and they do it right because they're organized. They know what they're doing. You have more faith in criminals, people who steal, people who compromise security every day. You have more faith in them than people who have never done anything wrong to you or have any indication other than the color of their skin or their nationality. I'll tell you, Al-Qaeda can infiltrate anybody, anywhere. Not just one particular class of people. And so can stupidity. That can infiltrate any place as well. Pretty unbelievable. And let's see, what else is happening? The The state Republican convention is going to be held on Long Island. I just found out about this today. Hoping to galvanize the large numbers of Republicans, and the large Republicans as well, because there are plenty of big ones. Here on Long Island, the state Republican Party has chosen Nassau County as the site for its 2006 nominating convention. I wonder if anyone's going to dare to protest that, because, you know, Republicans are Republicans everywhere. And you have to speak out against all the crap we've been led into as a result of them being in power. Anyway, the convention is going to be held at Hofstra University's Hempstead campus from May 31st to June 1st. That's only 2 days. So, hopefully there'll be some kind of speaking out there. Hofstra University, amazing. Can you imagine if they came to Stony Brook? Actually, the sad thing is I can't imagine them coming here. A few years ago, that never would have happened, but today I could see banners saying, "Welcome Republicans to our campus." Okay, you know, I wanted to talk about the World Baseball Classic as well, because I've been watching that off and on over the past week, talked about it last week as well, and I think even the week before that, when nobody even knew about it. And there was an incident. Well, there were a bunch of incidents, actually. The incident that really annoyed me the most was what happened in the U.S.-Japan game a couple of days ago, where basically the game was stolen from Japan by the U.S.-based referees, or umpires, as they're called. And it was so annoying because they had taken the lead. It was a tie game, very tense. Japanese played very well. Americans played okay for the most part, too, considering they're overpaid multi-billion-dollar stars in the first place. They should be playing like gods, but Japan was doing extremely well, I thought. And they got this pop fly, and the runner tagged up and ran home, and they were ahead 4-3. The U.S. manager comes running out and says, "No, look, he left the bag early. He left the bag before the ball was caught. He didn't tag up properly." And the referee appealed to another referee, and it was overturned. The run was taken back, and the third out was made as a result. And the Japanese team just stood there stunned. They couldn't believe it. They didn't want to take the field. Their manager had to convince them to take the field, do the honorable thing, I guess, even though this was so completely unfair. And the reason why you knew it was completely unfair is because, on television, they were able to show you the two pictures at the same time. The ball being caught, the person at third base, tagging and running. And it was so obvious that he had waited sufficient time before he started running. So the call was wrong. So what happens? The United States goes on to win the game by one run. Yeah. It was nasty, and you have to wonder why, after all this time, why don't umpires look at instant replays so that they can get things right in the first place? Of course, Japan is contesting the game now as well. They should. They've got an 0-1 record. They should have a 1-0 record, and the United States should be 0-2 because they got beaten by Korea yesterday. But the thing that really annoys me most about this, I mean, there are bad calls all the time. It happens. It's part of the game. But in this particular sport, where you have 16 teams from 16 different countries participating, listen to where the referees, I'm sorry, I keep saying referees, where the umpires are from. I'm going to read their I'm not going to read their names, I'm just going to read the native countries that they're from. Remember, 16 countries are participating, Japan, Korea, China, Taiwan, United States, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Cuba, Venezuela, a whole bunch. Italy, Australia, Netherlands. A lot of countries didn't even know had baseball teams, but they're all participating. A lot of them have been eliminated. But, okay, referees from the following countries. USA, 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 Cuba, USA, 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 Korea, USA, 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 South Africa, China, USA, USA, Italy, Australia, USA, Puerto Rico, Chinese Taipei, Netherlands. That's it. Well, good gosh, maybe that's not very fair. There's not even a single Japanese umpire in there. Who thinks up these things? It's not hard, you know. If they play the game, they also know how to umpire the game. If you want something that's going to be seen as fair by the rest of the world, make it truly representative of the world. Then you had the incident involving Cuba where basically somebody held up a sign in back of home plate saying, "Down with Fidel," and Cuba got rather upset by this. Listen to this story. While Cuba played the Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic, a spectator in the stands raised a sign saying, "Down with Fidel," in Spanish, sparking an international incident that escalated Friday with the velocity of a major league fastball. The image of the man holding the sign behind home plate was beamed live Thursday night to millions of TV viewers, including those in Cuba. The top Cuban official at the game rushed to confront the man. Now listen to this. Puerto Rican police quickly intervened and took the Cuban official to a nearby police station where they lectured him about free speech. Oh, come on. This condescending way of talking about people. Of course, you know, I understand why they would be upset. I also understand freedom of speech. But do you honestly believe if somebody stuck a sign up at Yankee Stadium that said, "Down with Bush," that would be tolerated? I issue a challenge. There are, what, 162 games? And there's, what, 40 teams? I don't even know how many baseball teams there are now. But there's a whole lot of games. If one person anywhere can get to one of those baseball games and hold up a sign that can be seen on TV that says something about Bush, "Down with Bush," or, you know, "Death count in Iraq," or "The lies," or the whatever, you know, if you can get away with that, then I'll agree that, yeah, freedom of speech is respected inside stadiums. You know, in Detroit, If you hold up a sign saying to fire the manager at a football game, you get kicked out of the stadium. So please, enough of this condescension. Gave him a lecture about freedom of speech. My God. Hopefully Cuba will kick our ass too, because they certainly deserve to. But enough about that. We're pretty much out of time. A couple of issues. Off the Hook returns tomorrow on the other radio station. We're planning for the next conference that we're running in New York City. A bunch of computer hackers and people speak out about freedom of various sorts, technology, speech, you name it. All affiliated with 2600 Magazine and Friends. And we're having coordinating meetings. The first one will be taking place this Friday at the Citigroup Center in New York City. We'll be posting exact times and things like that on the website, www.2600.com or www.hope.net. And please feel free to register for the conference. And if you have thoughts, ideas on what you'd like to do, whether it be give a speech, participate in a panel, volunteer in some way, go to hope.net. All the information is there. It's always a lot of fun. And Hope Number 6 will be taking place July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. We'll talk about that more tomorrow night. That's going to just about do it for us here on Off the Wall. The blues is coming up next. And, wow, this song is, I think, appropriate. And if it doesn't touch you, you're not human. So don't cry too much. See you next week. Out to you, my love. This is my lover's prayer, and I hope you can understand it, my love. My life is such a weary thing, but in my heels, oh, prayer just rang and rang. You keep me wanting, waiting, and wishing, when I know deep down I'm not to blame. What you gonna do tonight, when you need some loving arms to hold you tight? Tell me what you gonna do tonight, when you need my heavy voice to tell. Good
let that be no problem. You got to come on home and help me solve. Yeah, I won't be missing you. And honey, my love affair would be all over. Talk it over. Living in this misery, darling, you can't make my life all over. Honey, but you don't let there be no problem. Just come on home and help me solve.
Hi, this is Alvin Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.